Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on Tuesday, October 29th, 2013. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages.com, all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with Solid Roots in the Community and a partnership with the Official Disaster Preparation Establishment. Our producer is the president of the local Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, listeners. It is crisp and beautiful in beautiful Boston, Mass.
All right. In the World Series, coming back to Boston, it's going to be quite a day in Boston. Everybody's excited, I'm sure.
It is. They are. Tomorrow evening, tomorrow's going to be a little crazy around here, the president and the World Series in one day.
Yeah, right. Wow. And, of course, with us today is owner, producer, writer of SouthBayByJackie.com, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Very good. And
hey, George.
Hey, George.
Hey, George in Boston.
Yes, good morning, Jackie.
With the World Series and all the excitement, of course, there is Halloween coming up on Thursday,
yeah.
And the holidays in general, and believe it or not, and most people understand but don't think about it, generally speaking, along with the holidays come lots of dangers, lots of potential dangers, and we're going to talk about that, and that's amazing, and our guest is very special. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Jim Hone. Jim is the former Santa Monica Fire Chief and has been involved in emergency and disaster response, recovery, and training for more than 36 years. He served for 6 years in the United States Air Force as an aircraft crash rescue specialist prior to being hired by the Santa Monica Fire Department in 1980. During his more than 30 years with the fire department, he served as a firefighter, paramedic, fire captain, hazardous materials captain, division chief, fire marshal, and then fire chief. Jim served on several local, state, and federal disaster response teams and committees. He has responded to 6 federal disasters, including the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing and the 2001 World Trade Center terrorist attack, to assist local governments and coordinate FEMA urban search and rescue resources. On July 16, 2003, Jim was the first chief officer on scene and ultimately served as the operations section chief at the Santa Monica Farmers Market multi-casualty incident involving 79 victims, including 10 fatalities. Now, Halloween is this week, and with November just around the corner, which means that the holiday season will be here before you know it. So this morning, Jim is going to give us a primer on holiday hazards. Welcome back to the program, Chief. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you, Jackie, and hello to everyone again.
It's a pleasure to have you back, Chief. We thoroughly enjoyed having you on the show previously and had a wonderful discussion. And there are moments in our lives, events in our careers, all of us, that define us and tend to become a tagline for us in the future. And your career is long, and you've done many different things, but that particular event is so seared in the public consciousness that I'm sure most often when you are interviewed or introduced in the future, people are going to say you were there when it happened in Santa Monica. Do you feel that? Does that happen often that people say, oh, that's Jim. He was there when?
Oh, it happens occasionally.
Yeah.
Most of the time we're focusing on other topics like we are today with, holiday safety because the holidays are coming up. And unfortunately, injuries and severe injuries and sometimes even death can occur because we're so focused on the holidays, we sometimes forget some simple things that can keep us and our family safe.
Right. I think people tend to let their guard down. People tend to want to just enjoy themselves, enjoy family, enjoy friends, and then often tragedy strikes, and it is the worst possible time for that, because people then it's seared in their memories, and that anniversary comes up every year, the anniversary of some terrible event. So let's start. What do you think, Chief? What do you think is the number one issue that people here in Southern California need to watch out for as we move towards the holiday season?
Well, let's talk about Halloween first, because it's week.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Well, Halloween is coming up, and it kind of kicks off our holiday season.
Right.
And there's a whole list of things that we could talk about with each of the individual holidays.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I would probably start out with is that everything we're going to talk about today, people can get more information on it if they just Google the subject or go to YouTube or something like that. They can find out more information if they're not quite sure what we're talking about or want to find out more about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I did in preparation for today is I actually went online to refresh my memory, because it's been a while since I've talked about these subjects, and I found a website from the Centers for Disease Control, and they put together a terrific little acronym to remind us about all the things I was going to actually talk about, and it's called Safe Halloween, and it goes through pretty much everything that we need to be cognizant of during the Halloween season. Why don't I start out with just dealing with safe first, and then we can maybe spend some time talking about that, and then we can go down.
Mm-hmm.
Safe starts out with S for swords, knives, and similar costume accessories. They should be short, soft, and flexible. A is avoid trick-or-treating alone. Try to walk in groups or with an adult. F is fasten reflective tape on costume bags or costumes so drivers can see you. And E, examine all the treats that you collect or your children collect before eating them to see that they haven't been tampered with. And unfortunately, we need to do that these days. So that's the first, four letters of SAFE that really kind of pick up on the things we need to be thinking about, because unfortunately, children do get run over by cars as they're running between houses, and they don't have enough reflective gear on. Some of the things they carry are sharp or metal. They look good on a photograph, but when they either accidentally or intentionally use them in the manner they were intended, they sometimes hurt other individuals.
Mm-hmm. What an interesting idea, Safe Halloween. So, okay. I
got to jump in.
Yes.
Okay, the reflective tape thing. All right, great idea, particularly for Halloween. But this is something that, I swear, at night, coming home from the gym, I take classes at the gym a couple of nights a week.
Yeah.
Driving home, it never fails. Somebody walks into a crosswalk, they're wearing dark jeans, yep, a hoodie with the hood up, and I don't see them. They're halfway mm-hmm. into the crosswalk, and I don't see them.
Yeah.
It is so dangerous. Yeah. People don't even know they're doing it. They're walking around, and you can't see them at night.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. And during the holiday season, we add that extra pressure on ourselves of thinking of all those other things we should be doing, and sometimes we go a little bit faster than we should and or are distracted, and that's what causes accidents, unfortunately.
Wow. I couldn't find really a great comment or statement about safe. I mean, all four elements are so normal and natural, but people don't think about these things as often as they should.
Well, why don't I finish up with the Halloween part and
okay.
See if we have any further discussion, and if not, we can move on to other topics.
Okay.
For Halloween, Halloween starts out with hold a flashlight while walking so that others can see, and you can also prevent maybe some slipping and tripping hazards.
Mm-hmm.
A is always test any makeup you put on before to make sure it doesn't cause a reaction to your particular skin type. L is look both ways before crossing the street. L, again, is lower your risk of serious eye injury by not wearing some of the new and cheaply made decorative contact lenses. O is only walk on the sidewalks when possible. W is wear well-fitting masks and costumes and shoes to prevent slips, trips, and falls. Eat only factory-wrapped treats. E, enter homes only if you trust the person who is there or with a trusted adult, and only in well-lit homes. And N, never walk with lit candles or near lit candles and wear flammable resistive costumes. So there's Safe Halloween by the Center for Disease Control, and it covered everything I wanted to talk about.
Right. Wow. Now, contact lenses. I just saw yesterday someone wearing contact lenses with a figure on the center of the contact lens, like a rabbit or something
bat.
Like that.
A bat.
That's very popular, too.
Yeah, that, or they look like snakes.
Right. And those are, as you say, sometimes cheaply made in other countries.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right. And you don't quite know that they're sanitary and or... I suppose you can wash them, but then again, if they're cheaply made, can they shatter in your eye or something like that?
It's my understanding that the shattering's probably not going to be the issue, but because they are mass-produced, that the edges can be relatively sharp and can actually cut, parts of your eye, and you just need to be real careful before you start putting things in your eye or around your eye, because you only get two issued, and you need to make sure that they last you a lifetime.
That's right. Okay.
Chief, now I remember several decades ago the candy issue was a big deal.
Right.
Has that recurred recently, or are there still issues with that? I grew up in another city where, we had things like they were putting, I don't know, razor blades in apples and stuff like that. Did that sort of stuff happen out here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sewing needles were real popular because they're really hard to see when you insert them into, apples or candy. Put them in a Tootsie Roll, you're not going to see it, and you're going to bite down on it. If you don't swallow it, you could damage your teeth or your mouth, that's for sure. Some hospitals advertise during the holiday, the Halloween season, that they will X-ray candy for free.
Really?
Yeah, some of them do. Some of them still do. If you go on the website and search x-ray for candy or something like that. I'm sure you could find something. But again, you just need to be aware of your surroundings, and that's why they say factory wrapped candy is probably something you should do. Apples and fruit, things like that. You really don't know how they were grown, how they were, you know, put together. So fresh baked goods, things like that, you don't know really what's in there. Unless, you know, these are people that you trust. And that's one of the things that I've seen change over the years is people do more focused Halloween activities. Either they go to a community center where everyone, you know, does trick-or-treating within an auditorium type thing with different props and stages, or it's a confined neighborhood event or something like that to try to protect the children and have them enjoy the holiday, but also increase the safety from people who they might not know.
Right.
And we have several of them happening here in the South Bay.
There are events. There are also, we have several families that have lived in our area and have moved away, or just families that we know that come to our house specifically and our neighbors' homes. And they really don't go anywhere else. They just go to the homes that they know, that they've been to over and over again over the years, and limit their exposure that way. So, you know, there's several strategies that people have.
Yes. Keep safety of your children and yourself always in the forefront, and you'll probably make good decisions.
Right.
You getting dressed up, Joe?
You know, we are probably going to do the house thing. We're going to dress up the house and just hand out candy and watch an old movie like Arsenic and Old Lace. That's a popular one. We love
that's a funny
that.
Movie.
Yes.
Well, I have a group of friends coming over, and we're going to go down to the Riviera Village event.
Right.
And we're all going. We're going as a group of Somali pirates.
Okay.
I got the bed.
I can't get dressed up.
No.
I can't get dressed up because they wouldn't let me on the airplane.
That's true.
I don't get back until late on Thursday. I miss Halloween this year.
Okay. No candy. Well,
I doubt if you'll miss it. You'll see it somewhere.
On the airplane?
Probably not on the airplane, but en route to the airport and on the way home.
Right.
No, that's possible.
It's a very popular holiday now. I mean, young people have for several years, many years, I guess now, adopted Halloween as the young adult holiday.
Well, it was reported on the news either last night or the night before that as far as dollars spent, it is only second to Christmas.
Yeah, right. That's right. It's gotten big.
There are lots of adult costume parties and it's just an excellent opportunity to think about doing those kinds of things. So,
well, would you like to move on to other items?
Sure, Chief. What's next?
Well, unfortunately, I can tell you through my experience, and if you look any national statistics, that the number of fires go up during the holiday season by quite a bit, and it's usually one or two reasons that happens, and that is an overuse of extension cords and candles. Those are the two things that probably cause most of the increase in fires, and then cooking is probably right in there, the top three, because we do a lot more cooking during the holiday season, and either we're out of practice or we get distracted. Those are three of the most common things that happen, and I can't emphasize candles enough that if you have them lit, make sure you're in the room when they're lit. Keep them away from other combustibles. People light them for atmosphere and things like that, and then they'll leave or go into a different room, and then, you know, a slight breeze will move a curtain, or the candle itself will burn down and the container it's in isn't designed for it, or it has no container at all. There's just a whole lot of fires caused by candles during the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And you know what? In our home, we've got probably 20 candles, but they're all the new battery LED operated, and they last for about 300 hours. Mm-hmm. They look just like a real candle, but they don't have the hazard, and it really is a something that people should consider doing.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's no reason to use candles anymore. There's a lot of cool stuff on the market.
Well, candles, I mean, you know, the soy candle, not paraffin, not petroleum-based, but soy candles, you know, there's lots of scents and other kinds of good smells that you can have in the house.
And I'm saying that there's nothing wrong with candles if you handle them safely and use them appropriately.
Right. Excellent.
The extension cords, I think we all know about that we use a lot more electricity during the holiday season for decorations around the house, inside the house, and unfortunately, we don't have a good track record of using maybe some common sense when we're doing it. If we need more lights, we just keep plugging more multiple outlets together until we get the amount of lights we want, and that causes the circuits to overheat, or the extension cords we've been using for the last 40 years aren't quite in the good shape that they should be, and they arc or spark and overload, and unfortunately it causes a fire.
But with the way people decorate their homes for Christmas in particular, you know, we have, what is it, Sleepy Hollow right here?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Boy, oh boy, those are a lot of lights. A lot of lights.
Great opportunity for something like that to happen.
Yeah. Got to be very careful with lights.
The cooking process, I mean, the cooking process basically covers everything from prep to cleanup. Everything from handling the material. And again, the reason I'm mentioning all these things is unfortunately, the fire department is called frequently to come and assist when things don't go right. And, you know, just improper handling of the cooking materials, you know, raw meats and proper storage and cold and things like that. Sometimes we don't do that as effectively as we could, and people get sick, and then that causes the fire department and paramedics to respond to try to assist people when they're hurting. The sharp knives, people's knife skills might not be what they should be, and I know that we've gone to a lot of sliced fingers and hands, unfortunately. One of the things that we might not think about is when you are cooking, keeping children out of the kitchen. I know that sometimes it's nice to have them assisting, but once the fire gets going, unattended pots with the handles sticking out over the stove, that's a perfect thing to grab some kids' attention and to grab a hold of that handle that's up on the stove, that even though you can't see it, it'll pull that pot right down on top of them. It just, unfortunately, everything I'm telling you, I witnessed firsthand, and so it does happen, and we need to make sure that we try to prevent that. So turn the handles on your pots inward towards the stove if you're not going to be standing directly in front of it. That's something that happens. Oven temperature and time. Sometimes we put something in and the temperature gauge on the stove doesn't work, so you think you're cooking at 350 and in fact it's at 500. You know, have a nice temperature gauge that you can actually read, that you're assured is working properly.
And poof,
what else
dinner's burnt.
Putting overloading the dishwasher with sometimes things that don't belong there, like lighter weight plastics and things like that. When that heating element goes on in the dishwasher, it will cause a fire in your dishwasher after everything has been washed. When that plastic gets wrapped around those heating elements, and it creates a disruption to your holiday events when the entire kitchen is filled with black smoke from a burning plastic in your dishwasher. It's something you need to be aware of.
Wow. Now, that's one I didn't think of. But a dishwasher causing not a fire necessarily, but just a disruption, as you say, black plastic smoke is going to be very disruptive. That's
In the cooking category, we can go to our favorite, the deep-fried turkey experience. A lot of people enjoy it. It's very tasty. I've enjoyed it myself, but you really need to make sure that you go on YouTube, see how to do it properly, and also while you're there, see how not to do it There's hundreds of fires that are caused by deep-fried turkeys every year because
I can tell you right now. I can tell you how to do it right and how to do it wrong right now.
George, please do. Please do.
To do it wrong. Well, first, to do it right, you must have a dry turkey because you don't want the water to interact with the oil. You need to prior to doing all of this, measure the amount of oil that you put in your pan. And the only way you're going to do this is early on, put the turkey in, fill the pan up with water to just cover the turkey, mark the pan, remove the water, and dry the turkey out. I have overflowed a pot in the past, many years ago, because I've done this for 25 years for charity and other events, cooking three or four turkeys. That's the one way to start a good fire that will actually roll down a sidewalk burning. As your wife looks at you like, should I dial 911 or not? She did not. It burnt itself out. But so you need to measure it and make sure that it does not overflow when you put the turkey in. You want to put it in slowly and make sure that you have a handle and the proper gloves and protection as you drop the turkey into a 325-degree oil pan. So, I mean, you know, that's pretty much it. That's the worst-case scenario of just getting the turkey in to begin with. Of course, there are others if you let it boil up and boil over down the road, as time goes on. But I wanted to get in the idea that I have seen both the good and the bad side of it.
George, I think you covered some of the good stuff. I've got a few other things to add to that, but I think you covered it really well. You talked about the oil, you know, when it does overflow going downhill, you should try to find a level surface to put all your cooking pots and everything on so that if it does have an issue, then at least it's in a level surface and doesn't roll downhill. Number one, you need to make sure you're doing this outside. Some people think that the garage is a great place to do it because that way they're out of the weather, and don't do it under any cover whatsoever. Make sure it's in a clear, open area. There's no trees or anything directly above you. Have a fire extinguisher immediately available while you're doing this. A dry chemical, ABC type extinguisher, you should have that near you. To make sure you don't boil it over, you have an immersion thermometer so that you can constantly monitor the temperature of the oil as you're cooking it so you can regulate the amount of heat you're putting to it. Along with your gloves and your handle that you talked about, a face shield is a good idea to also wear when you're doing it because there just might be that one or two drop of water on your turkey that you missed. It might not be enough to boil it over, but it can cause it to splatter. And I don't know if people know why water and oil do that, but basically it converts water into steam, and steam expands to 1,700 times its volume when it converts to a gas, and that rapid expansion of volume is what causes the liquid, the oil, to jump out of the pot, is because it has more volume in there than it did when it originally went in. So good job, George. You covered the big parts.
Well, I didn't want to take, you know, I didn't want to say it all because I wanted you to fill, you know, finish it off. But I just had to, you know, put the, you know, the goods and the bads that I've done in the past and I've learned, and it will not happen again.
I like technical
details. So anyway, off we go. What's next?
I like the technical details, like water expands to 1,700. Times its volume as a liquid, as a gas. I like that.
George is our resident turkey frying expert.
Yes, he is. He does a great job.
I'm sure he does. You want to keep moving on to other items?
Sure. Well, one thing, I just want to give a little station break so people know.
Okay.
We are talking about holiday hazards, if you haven't figured it out. Holiday hazards to avoid with Chief Jim Hone, former Santa Monica fire chief. And it's a subject that we all know we should study up on as the holidays come ahead. But here we have an expert that can guide us. If you want to call in and ask a question, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 714-242-5288, 714-242-5288. And also, we'd love to thank a sponsor. Jackie, who are we thanking today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, you can visit the website at www.bcws.com or call them at 310-542-0011.
Excellent. Excellent. So now, Chief, what's next on our list of hazards during the holidays?
Well, because of the decoration activities that take place, sometimes we tend to either get on short ladders for inside work or longer ladders for outside work, and ladder safety cannot be overemphasized. The ladder needs to be in good shape. It needs to be on a level surface, a solid surface, so one of the legs doesn't sink in. We need to make sure that we don't overreach, get over the top of the ladder. Just a lot of falls happen during the holidays with people trying to make their home more inviting and festive. Unfortunately, there are a lot of falls that happen during the holidays from ladders or even off roofs, or moving a ladder around and contacting electrical wires during the process. It just needs to be really thought of when you're working with ladders, carrying them, or actually on top of them.
Now, the ladder safety, that's an issue, of course, that people can run into at any time. But during the holidays, it's just a more a frequent occurrence. Is that the difference?
Well, it is. You know, just due to the festooning that people like to do to their homes inside and outside. That's not a skill set that you practice regularly. It's usually on an as-needed basis. It's not something you do every other day, so you just don't think about it that often. It does happen more frequently during the holidays because there's more ladder use during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that might be the last time the person was on a ladder was last holiday. Definitely increases during the holiday season.
I see. Okay. That's good.
Christmas trees in your home. If you've never seen a Christmas tree fire inside someone's home, that is something you're very lucky because it will take out a home in no time. A dry Christmas tree, once it gets started, you will not put it out. It will just take over that entire room and, unfortunately, sometimes the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that the water level in your Christmas tree is it proper. A lot of people are now going to using live trees, and they're actually, you know, reusing the tree each year, so they don't have to buy one every year.
Mm-hmm.
That's becoming more popular, along with the artificial trees, which are looking more and more lifelike than they did when you and I were growing up. To make sure that your tree is safe, you know, just grab a hold of it and pull along one of the branches. If you end up with a handful of needles, it's time to take the tree outside, unfortunately, because it's too dry, and you're not going to rehydrate it once you get to that point. It's a cut tree. It's dying and eventually will continue to dry out. Make sure the lights are in good shape. Don't put it near a heat source, either a floor heater, a wall heater, you know, or the fireplace. I was reading somewhere years ago that a dry 6 or 8 foot Christmas tree, the BTU, the British Thermal Unit, the power, the heat release that occurs is equivalent to a gallon of gasoline. If you were to spread a gallon of gasoline in your front room and light it, that would be the equivalent of lighting your Christmas tree in your front room. So, and I believe from the fires I've seen, it's probably pretty close to that. It's pretty devastating.
I have some personal experience with this. Thank God it isn't a fire. It was planned Christmas tree bonfires. At Dockweiler Beach, near us here in the South Bay, we have an annual tradition of burning our Christmas trees after the holiday season. And I have never felt a hotter fire than a couple of Christmas trees. And it doesn't last long.
It doesn't last long.
No. It's one amazing pine oil, when it goes aerosol, is like, as you say, we said like kerosene or gasoline. It's amazing.
It's the oils, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's two things. It's the oils, and it's also the way a conifer tree is built, in that all of the needles are, you know, filleted out, and fire propagates from one place to burn to the next. And the needles, as they're sprayed out, kind of like, you know, a rat hairbrush, if you will, it goes from one place it can burn to the next place it can burn so quickly, it's like a fuse. And so, you know, if you were to take that same Christmas tree, crunch it up and make it more dense, it wouldn't burn like that. But because it's all fluffy, if you will, it causes the propagation of fire to move so quickly. It creates that volume of heat so rapidly, and that's why it's hot, but only for a short amount of time, because it jumps from the place it can burn to the next place it can burn along the needles so quickly that there's no way to control it once it gets going.
It's a lot of surface area.
Surface area. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, and anybody that's ever been camping knows that when you're starting a little fire by hand, throw in a couple of pine needles.
Right.
Yep.
That'll work. Fire starter. Excellent fire starter.
Yeah.
But
smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors. Every home should have them. And unfortunately, during the holiday season, when the kids open up their toys and batteries are not included, where do people think that there's batteries that they can just borrow for a while?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it happens every year, that people take the batteries out of the smoke detectors because the little toy isn't working, and they forget to put it back, and unfortunately, tragedies happen. And when you talk to the parents, or if there are any survivors, you find out, I just did it yesterday, and I forgot to put them back in. Smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors need to be working. They need to be in every general purpose room, as well as inside every bedroom, if you can afford it. It really makes a difference, because people die more of smoke than they do of fire.
Right.
And aren't there places where you can get smoke detectors free?
Sometimes they're offered for free. Different community organizations sometimes offer them. Sometimes fire departments do it as a promotional to assist their community and their neighborhoods. It happens occasionally. It's not something that is always there that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
What a tragedy that would be, huh?
Yeah.
Take the battery. Who would think that? Who would think that? We need a battery. Oh, let's take it out of the smoke detector.
Mm. Yeah, because the smoke detector is a passive device. It's not something that, you know, it doesn't have any bells and whistles. Well, it does have bells and whistles, but it's only when there's an emergency. It's just sitting there. So it's an extra set of batteries that people think it'd be, well, I'll put it back in tomorrow, and tomorrow never happens.
Right.
It's an effort, though, to get to it. I guess people would do it, but, you know, for one to have to then get up to the ceiling and do it properly, it's...
Well, when your child's sitting there screaming and crying that their game isn't working, parents will do just about anything to make them happy.
Yeah.
Okay, that should be a new law. Every toy that needs a battery, batteries must be included.
Well,
that should be a new law.
That's interesting.
Somebody quick, call their legislator.
Here's something that some people, for the holidays, here's something that a lot of people aren't aware of or don't think about, and that is their fireplace, the fireplace safety. People, you know about the, combustibles too close to fireplaces, keeping the screen closed when you're using it. The glass doors on a fireplace, I don't know if people are aware of it, they're supposed to be in the open position so that the fireplace can draw a proper, oxygen. Some people close it, and then it causes the fire not to burn as efficiently as it can if they shut the glass doors on it, unless it's specifically designed for that and it has other ventilation ports built into the frame or the fireplace itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that people don't know, and I've seen this, is that instead of taking all the wrapping paper from whatever holiday that they celebrate, they bundle it all up and they shove it in the fireplace and they think, oh, this, you know, will go up quickly and it'll be a nice, you know, effect. Fireplaces are not designed for that amount of instant heat created by all of that paper burning so rapidly. And you can actually crack what's called the firebox in a fireplace by shoving a whole bunch of paper in there. If you think about how you light a fire in a fireplace, you light a small fire, or you have a gas fire and you light, you know, and the certain heating element comes on, it warms up over a few minute period. Well, when you shove a whole bunch of paper in there and stuff it and light it, that energy release is so hot and so rapid that it can actually crack the concrete and the masonry that's involved in building a fireplace. And then when you use your fireplace normally after that, the exhaust gases and smoke and heat now starts going into the building elements itself, and you can actually create a fire in your home after the protective shroud of the firebox has been violated.
Hmm.
And we should all always have our fireplaces checked at least once a year, right?
It's not a bad thing to do. I would recommend that, especially if it's not the ones that use wood are the ones that need to be checked more regularly because of the creosote that's created by the burning materials. You don't know how much wood you've actually burned or whatever. The gas fireplaces are pretty much regulated and don't create the soots and all of that as often. But it's not a bad idea to get it checked because you just don't know that, you know, maybe some animals decided to live in there during the summer months when you weren't using it, built a nest or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to have it checked out.
Wow. That's a new one. I mean, obviously, of course, fireplace maintenance is important, but I guess people just don't do that sometimes.
Sometimes, due to the holiday season, it's a quick way to get rid of the paper, but it can have some devastating results.
Wow.
The one item I did want to mention, it's not so much of an item, an issue, and it isn't talked about a lot, but unfortunately, when everyone is in a festive and holiday spirit, not everyone might not feel that way. And
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, the suicide rates during the holidays go up.
Right.
People aren't as festive, or the pressures of the holiday season We just need to look out for each other. We need to see that the people that we care about and our family members, we need to keep an eye on each other, because sometimes there might be something going on in a person's life that we're not aware of, but they're just not themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time to go and find out, because if this is supposed to be a time of family and friends and remembrance, let's remember everyone, and let's check up on each other, because unfortunately the suicide rates are increased during the holiday season because of that extra level of pressure and scrutiny that occurs. It is a fun time, but it's not a fun time for everyone, and we just need to remember that.
Very well said, Chief. It's very devastating, again, when these kinds of events occur on some anniversary that everyone and the whole sort of commercial establishment is trying to remind people of. When an anniversary like that occurs, a tragedy occurs on a holiday, it's just doubly devastating. So what's next, Chief?
Well, that's kind of my list of the big ones. I was more interested to hear if you guys had any questions or experiences during the holiday season you wanted to share.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Eating, food, turkey, going to sleep. Is there any truth to that old story that used to go around where you eat a bunch of turkey and that there is?
Yeah, tryptophan is the chemical that's in the it's in the turkey, and it does have a sedative effect, if you will. It does cause certain people to react more than others, but yeah, there is a chemical in turkey that does cause you to relax, if you will. And depending on how much turkey you've had, you might relax more.
Right.
So after eating a big meal with a lot of turkey in it, you may not necessarily want to get in the car and drive.
Especially if you've also had some alcohol, because alcohol is a sedative. It is not a stimulant. Unfortunately, some people, it's a short stimulant, but then it does have the downhill effect as well.
And there's one of the biggest ones, all the drinking that goes on.
All
the
holiday parties, yes, you're right. That's a good one, Jackie, to remind everyone to not always be cognizant of it, but especially during the holidays. It's good to celebrate, but in moderation.
And then remember, you may not be drinking. You may not be drinking, but the people driving around you may have been drinking.
You're absolutely right.
You got to be careful there.
You're absolutely right.
Apparently, that's why after I have and cooked 3 deep-fried Cajun turkeys, and I'm able to eat some of them, I'm tired and I don't want to help clean up.
Linda, if you hear this, he has an excuse now.
Hey, I've got a few announcements that I want to chat real quick about here about the next couple, 3 weeks.
Sure.
This coming Tuesday morning, next week's show, we're going to have on our 2 council members, Mark Burton and Tony DiRico, who just completed my CERT class a week ago. And we're going to talk about their thoughts. And I am quite proud of the city that all 5 of our council members now in Manhattan Beach have been through CERT training. And we're going to see if we can make sure that stays that way. Now, that evening, I want to invite all CERT members to come to the council meeting at City Hall, where I believe all of our council members are going to at least have their CERT hats on, and we'll take some pictures and recognize our CERT members. That is next Tuesday, November 5th. On the 9th, Manhattan Beach, the city, is putting on our second muster, and our CERT members are able to work with city officials, department heads, fire reserves, firemen, some friendly competition against the clock with a barbecue afterwards, and that's from next week Saturday, on the 9th. from 10 to 1 at fire station number 1. Then as we move into December 12th, two weeks from today, David Lancer, the Hermosa Beach Fire Chief, will be our guest that morning. And on December 19th, we, the Manhattan Beach CERT Association, are proud to let everybody know that we are taking part in this year's Santa parades in the float. And on the 19th of December, it will be CERT members on the float riding through the streets of Manhattan Beach, wishing everybody Merry Christmas and Happy Holiday.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to be Santa Claus?
Pardon?
Who's going to be Santa Claus?
I was not at the board meeting and was voted that it should be me. So we'll see.
How did I know that?
I did not volunteer. I was in absence nominated.
Well, that's what happens when you don't show up.
I tell you, this traveling, it hurts.
Hey, listen, you mentioned your city council members. We have to give a shout out to Wayne Powell, Councilmember Wayne Powell, for winning the world famous pumpkin race last weekend in Manhattan Beach. Wayne Powell won the pumpkin race.
Wow.
All right. Well, yeah. My neighbor that I tried to help a little bit before I left for Boston here, I'm sure the little one is disappointed, but hopefully everybody had fun.
Oh, yeah. That's always a good time.
I remember before it was world famous in a city run pumpkin race. It was down the street from where I live.
Mm-hmm. It's gone commercial. Big now, big thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's gone monster.
Yeah.
I have ideas. Someday I might be able to be around for it. It just happens that this show I go to. Seems to be the last week of the month, of October these years.
Hey, Chief, are there any pumpkin dangers that we should know about?
Pumpkin dangers. Really, the only one that I can think of that comes to mind are, unfortunately, vandals picking them up, throwing them into the street, causing cars to swerve and have an accident. That's really about the only one that comes to mind.
Well, other than eating too much pumpkin pie.
Actually, I've seen a lot of interesting pumpkin activities on the news. Have you seen the canoe races made out of the pumpkins?
I saw that.
That's impressive.
Who knew you could sail a pumpkin?
I was impressed. And the ones that had the outboard motors attached to them, those are the ones that really impressed me.
Mm-hmm. Where was that, Maine?
Yeah, it was back east somewhere. It was very impressive. It was fun to watch.
I think I saw that on was it CBS Sunday Morning?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I watched that. I saw that. Yeah, mm-hmm. They take the giant pumpkins, the biggest pumpkins they can grow, hollow them out, and make a boat out of them, and then they have pumpkin races. Yeah, fun stuff.
I've never seen that before.
Wow. Yeah, no, either have I. But that's
amazing. It'll probably be on YouTube, and I'll have an opportunity to find it here shortly.
Yep.
Wow, this is exciting. This is also a very, very important show. This is we're getting into those shows now, George and Jackie, but we're getting into those shows now where we're repeating these kinds of annual shows that people really should think about. We're fulfilling our mission, I think, in a way, because now as more and more people find out about the show, hopefully more and more people will find out about these things that they should think about during the holidays, and we can help someone perhaps avoid a tragedy. It's a wonderful thing.
We've never done a holiday hazard show before, have we? No, we didn't do one last year.
No, we did not last year.
Right.
We did the beginning of the summer show.
Right.
And the 4th of July, again, with Jim. And Chief has made a point of saying, call me back. We will continue to do this. And we're certainly going to take him up on this.
Right. Right. It's a great honor. And also just the you know, Chief, it's amazing how, from your experience, being a professional in the all hazards world that is the fire department today, and the kinds of things that you run into from experience, just really is amazing, and people just don't think about it very often. But the one thing that kind of comes home to me is I had a cousin that reached up for a pot, pulled down a pot of boiling water on them, and you know, it was such a tragedy, because it really never had to happen, and I'm so pleased that you covered all of those kinds of things.
Well, it was always a pleasure to be here with all of you, and
yes.
These are, you know, not something, you know, these topics sometimes are not pleasant to listen to, but they happen every year, so we need to be aware of them. Mm-hmm. And if any of your listeners have heard this and maybe mentioned something at the event they go to or in their own home and it prevents an injury or, unfortunately, you know, God forbid, a fatality, then we have done something positive, and, you know, disaster preparedness starts at home with your small disasters. Might not be a disaster for the community, but it's definitely a disaster for you and your family. And if we can prevent that from happening, we're all in a better place.
Right. Any last thoughts, George, from Boston?
From Boston. Again, no, it's cold. I had an opportunity to walk down Boylston Street and see where and walk by the finish line the other day.
Right.
The fascias, the fronts of the businesses there are still in disarray and in repair, and you know, it just makes you think. We all have to be vigilant in everything that we do and everything that we watch and see on a daily basis. And I wish everybody a safe and enjoyable Halloween this week.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I just like to say, yeah, it's the most wonderful time of the year, but can also be the most dangerous time of the year. So everybody needs to be safe.
Chief, it's been a pleasure having you on. We really do appreciate your availability and your willingness to. You did some research. You really did bring us a comprehensive discussion about hazards during the holidays, Halloween in particular. That's very appreciated. We appreciate that, Chief.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I want to do anything I can to help my community and your community and all the communities, you know, be safe and enjoy the holidays. And you can do that by not getting hurt yourself or having others that you care about become injured during this festive season.
Right. Right. Well, I just want to
give a shout out to, you know, both Jackie, Terry, but to Jackie and Joe, and our listeners. Chief, since retiring and taking part in the Tri-City CERT organization, you have.
George is having a delay there.
George is having some technical difficulties there. He's going in and out.
Oh, darn.
Oh?
I am going in and out. Anyway, Chief, I just want to thank you for everything you do in the community, for sure.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Great show. Wonderful show. Everyone, please tune in.
We're going to share this. We're going to share it with everybody. I'll get it out there today so everybody can listen to it.
Yes. So please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your relatives, get this show out there before the holidays, share it with people so that they can begin to think about the hazards that they can avoid, perhaps getting the fireplace checked out, you know, just taking more caution and more care. Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.